Our second 10-minute speaker is Wilma.
Hello, family. My name is Wilma, and I am an alcoholic. Hello, everybody. My sobriety date is 7/7/2011. My sponsor, her name is Danine S. I am happily living. Oh, I restarted the steps, but I'm living in 10, 11, and 12, but we're reworking them, and I'm on step 3. And I have two women who I take through the big book as they are written out, or the steps as they are written out in the big book, Caitlin and Maria. Thank you for allowing me to sponsor you and watch you grow every day. Peggy, thank you for the structure of this group. And I have never been so proud to be a baguette in this beautiful place, Atlantic Group. I only have 10 minutes. Here we go. I'm not going to get emotional. I am from Worcester, Massachusetts. I grew up in a Puerto Rican Cuban household. My father was the closest thing to Scarface that you could possibly think of. My mother's the most sweetest, strongest little package of a Puerto Rican woman I know. And my father had a very big problem with alcohol. He used to beat my family. I was the only person that was not beat. And so from a get-go, I thought that I wasn't enough. My dad didn't beat me, so I wasn't enough. There was something wrong with me. You identify as great, isn't that great? And that's the kind of environment I grew up in. But we always try to look good on the outside. So for a long time, we were always taught to not tell anyone what was going on at home. And I never talked about it. And I was taught that if I looked good on the outside, everything was going to be okay. So I lived my life like that for a very, very, very long time. I don't want to get too much into a drunkalogue because I get so excited about what happens here that I want to get to that. You know, so just know that I qualify to be here, that I drank alcohol because I loved the effect that it made me, that the person that I became. I did not like the person that I was when I wasn't drinking alcohol. I can truly say that when I was a little girl, food was my first. I was really chubby. I couldn't drink alcohol because I was, you know, 4. You didn't want to go into my father's stash, but know that I had this ism from a very, very young age. I am not enough. I'm going to lose what I have, and I'm not going to get what I want. At the basis, if you're new, that is the problem that we have, a disease of self-centeredness, selfish, self-centered fear, you know? And that's what I lived with until I found alcohol. And then it was, I was pretty. I wasn't fat. All the boys liked me. You know, I was enough. You know, my father loved me when I, you know, or that's what I felt when I was drinking. He passed away from cancer when I was 14 years old, which left me with having to take care of my family. My mother got into a deep depression. My sister was having a psychotic breakdown, and my brother had just checked out from everything. So as a 14-year-old girl, I was taking care of my mother and making sure she was getting to work. And all the responsibility was on me. So I thought, no one had told me that I needed to take care of my family, but I thought I needed to. So I initially had wanted to control everything. I'm very controlling. That apparently is a defective character of mine. Danine reminds me of that all the time. So that's the kind of environment I grew up in. I went to college, I studied theater. And that's where I took off running because there was no mom, there was no sister. I was away from my family. And let's just say I had a lot of blackouts. And, you know, things got pretty bananas there. But I drank like everyone else. It wasn't a problem. I ended up dating a boy from Chappaqua, New York. And, of course, I felt like I had arrived. He's from Chappaqua. The Clintons are from there. And as a Puerto Rican girl, Puerto Rican Cuban girl from the hood, like, that is awesome. And, of course, he ended up being an alcoholic as well, and we drank together. We drank, and it was okay. It was normal. It was a toxic relationship, and I couldn't see that. By the time I moved to New York when I was 24, I told my mom it was for my acting career, but it was really to be closer to the boy that I thought I was going to marry. I remember Peggy saying this when I came into the rooms. You had said something of, like, the boy that you're pining over right now, it's not going to work out, so just stop. And I was like, that's not going to be me. We're going to get back together. We're not together. So grateful for that. And so then, you know, I moved here and I bottomed out. Let's just say Tequila was my first and only Latino boyfriend. And, you know, whenever I drank, it took away all the thoughts. You know what those thoughts are. That feeling that I'm not enough, that fear, that self-centeredness, it all went away when I was drinking. And my drinking got worse. I went from drinking Friday and Saturday to like drinking Tuesday to Sunday, drinking Monday to Sunday. It was an everyday thing. I couldn't stop. Thank you so much. And I came in here. I came in here because I tried to kill myself. That is where my disease took me. The best idea that I had when I was drinking was, if he wakes up tomorrow and he finds you dead, he's going to feel sorry. And I said, wow, that's a great idea. I'm going to do that. And you know what? As I'm sitting there with my growler of beer and the knife to my wrist, I heard, and there were all these voices that said, do it, do it, do it. Nobody loves you. You're never going to be loved. Everyone hates you. You're never going to be an actor. You're not, this is not going to work out for you. No one will miss you. No one will miss you. And I heard this voice that said, if you just go to bed, we can figure this out tomorrow. And so I listened to that voice, and I called a friend of mine who had been put in my life back in college, who I knew was sober. And he put me in contact with a friend of mine who was in AA. And I went to my first meeting at NYU. And of course, I showed up to NYU 5 minutes late, and I showed up in the elevator. So at like middle of the meeting, the elevator opens and I stroll out with my maxi dress and sunglasses, because if everything on the outside looked good, I was okay. And I remember not knowing what this woman was saying, but identifying so deeply. And all I could do was cry. And that's where I met my first sponsor, Margaret, who took me through the steps, who introduced me to this home group. And I walked in and I hated all of you, because none of you looked like me. None of you were Puerto Rican. None of you were from the hood. Nobody's going to know what I'm talking about. Y'all don't know. I'm real tough. Blah, blah, blah. I didn't look like this when I came in here. You know, I didn't know that this was possible for me. And so I came in here, and this woman, Margaret, she told me to get a home group, which ended up being you guys, to get, you know, to work. She started working the steps with me, and I got 3 commitments, and it was so strict. And she asked me to call her every day. And I was like, I don't call nobody every day, girl. I don't know what you're talking about. But I did, because I had no other option. And Marla's right there. She was my first grand sponsor. Thank you, you know, for it all. I am just so beyond grateful, because I stuck around. I didn't know what AA was. I didn't know what commitments were. I didn't know what the steps were. I didn't know what the big book was. But I listened and I stayed, because I saw something in you. You know why I didn't like you? Because I wanted to be you. That's why. That is why, you know? And so I stuck around, and then you know, 90 days came, and then, you know, a year came, and I said, I'm going to stick around, because one day there's going to be a young Puerto Rican and Cuban girl that's going to walk in, is going to walk past those doors, and somebody's going to catch them and introduce them to me, you know, and that, you know, and now I have, there's so many of us here. You know, I've been here for 5 years, and it has not been easy. It has not been easy. And there are so many times where I wanted to leave. There were so many times where I thought this wasn't going to be for me, but I ended up staying. And why? Because I think a part of me always believed that it was going to get better. If you're sitting here and you're saying to yourself, oh, I can't stay sober. I'm not going to be able to stay sober. Well, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you something right now. I watched my baby cousin my grandmother died last year. And then 4 months later, my baby cousin died of cancer. She was 24 years old. Now you tell me that why a 24-year-old girl who's never had a problem with drug or alcohol in her life, who was so sweet and so wonderful, was dying of breast cancer, and why this drunk right here gets to live and survive. I cannot tell you how that made me feel, how humble that made me feel, and how big my higher power was. My higher power showed me that I am not in control, and I do not get to control everything, and that things happen. And that all I can do is say, where can I be of service? And I thought, not once did a drink come through my mind. And let me tell you, I was curled up in a ball. I had not sobbed like that since my father passed. And my sponsor didn't know what to do with me. You know, all she wanted to do was hug me, and I had to cry it out and cry it out. And these women in these rooms, I didn't want to go out to fellowship. Thank you so much. And these women in these rooms were like, no, we're going to fellowship, and you're going to talk to me, and you're going to cry. And I did. And what I've learned here, I've learned how to be a daughter. I've learned how to be a sister. I've learned how to be a member of this home group that I dress up for. I don't dress up to go hang out with friends most of the time. I dress up for my home group because I am so proud to be a sober woman. I've learned how to be an employee. I've learned how to be a castmate. God has given me those gifts. He has yet to give me the gift of being a girlfriend. I'm still learning. So it's all in God's hand. And what I've learned, if there's anything I can leave you with, you are not in control. Just give it up and be here, get a sponsor, get a commitment, and do the work. Because you can sit here and you can listen, and you're not going to get anything out of it unless you get your hands dirty, okay? Get your hands dirty. Feel the feelings. Because you know what? Those feelings are going to bring you to a higher power, and they're going to bring you to a freedom that you have no idea what you're missing out on. I look at the mirror, and I am happy to be the woman that I am today. And that was not the case 5 years ago. Please stay. Get a sponsor. Get a home group and stay. Thank you.